77 in the book, and Deuteronomy chapter 25. I start to say this is a good lesson, but to be honest, they're all good. This is a tremendous prayer journal. How many of you have read through it and are enjoying it and getting help from it? Nobody? I saw two hands. Well, if you're not, you ought to be ashamed. The church purchased it for you, and that's the least that's been done. We entered this and began this to help us all to be able to pray better, to learn more about prayer, and to educate ourselves about the people of prayer so that we could become the people of prayer. And it's I say this a lot, but it's one thing to be educated and to receive something from the Word of God. But if that's all we do, we are really, please hear me, we really are better off at the house if all we're doing is hearing. Because everything we hear, we will give an account for. Everything. And so when we hear it and choose not to heed it, well, the Lord takes good records and we will give an account to that one day. And so let's try our best to apply the truths of God's Word. And I was wondering where Brother Ned's at. There he comes. I'll give them just a minute to get in here. There comes the gossips crew. I was wondering where you was at, Brother Ned. I started to say, it's a sin to tell stories in church. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I'm... then they wasn't much work done at all. All right, we on page 77, Genesis chapter 25. All right, this is the prayer of Aaron and Hur. How many of you remember a little old short preacher by the name of Bobby Brindle came here in this building over here and preached out of this portion of God's Word on stay the man of God's hands. And them little hands.
Stay the man.
That was so powerful of a message. I still remember it. And I had him come down to Georgia and preach that message. Him and his wife came down there and spent a few days with us. But great, great portion of God's Word. And so let's look at it this evening. Let me read a couple of verses out of Genesis 25, verse 17 through 19. Deuteronomy. I'm all mixed up this evening. Deuteronomy. I preached one whole message on Moses one night, on how Moses built the ark. I was a teenager preaching in Greer for Brother Hall Hollowfield at a youth meeting, and I was so nervous. I finally got up there. And Moses went to town of building that ark. he didn't build that ark. But anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou was faint and weary. He feared not God. Listen to verse 19. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. And this is, we'll go back to this, but what a powerful few verses that is. There's an enemy. You all know the history and what's going on in God's Word. They have left Egypt, and Moses is leading the children of Israel, and they are headed to the promised land. They're headed to Canaan, but there's a lot of space in between where they are, where they've been delivered from, and where the ultimate place of delivery is. And there's many foes and many enemies and many fights and many battles that will take place between deliverance and the ultimate deliverance. And boy, ain't that a picture of the Christian life. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Canaan land is a picture of heaven. It's not. It's a picture of the spirit-filled Christian life. But here, one of the enemies that come up, one of the foes that hated them and wanted to take advantage of them was the Amalekites. And like most enemies, they saw them and they didn't go after their strength and after their front men. But they spied out and they seen the weaklings, those that were in the rear and those that were struggling and weary from the journey. And that's who they pounced on and done business with. And that's how it is in the Christian life too. The devil, as we all know, is talked about as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you've all watched National Geographic enough to see how a lion does, or any of those big cats. They sit and pray and they watch, and most of the time, they will spy out and spot one of the small prey, one of the small animals, or one that's been harmed or injured, weak, fatigued, and that's the one that they'll go after. And boy, that, as Christians, how we ought to care for and look out for those that are having a hard time. Brother Jerry mentioned publicly a prayer request that should have sent up an alarm for every one of us. I've been praying for that. It wasn't a surprise to me that you said it tonight, but I'm glad you said it, because that lets me know the Lord's dealing with you about it, and that's an answer to prayer. But when somebody's weak, that's no time. And I wanted to come and talk to you about that situation. But I've prayed about it a lot more than I've talked to you about it, because I figured out, and the Lord's taught me, He can fix way more than I can. That is right. And a lot of times we go in haste and try to fix somebody or fix an issue. And while somebody's weak and or whatever, weary, we'll do more damage than good. And they will puff up and get mad, and you will lose somebody. And then how are you going to help them when they're gone? You won't. And so that's a blessing to hear that your heart's being massaged from the Lord. And God will help you with that. He'll give you direction. And we ought every one of us take that serious. The devil would love to detour him and distract him with any little trinket. And you said a lot. You said a ton in your testimony. You can't win her if you like her. If you like him, you can win her, and it'll give her something to be attracted to. And that's him. And so I think you headed the right way. That's right. So anyway, let's look in our book. It didn't take long after their deliverance from Egypt for Israel to understand the difficulty of wilderness living. In addition to the hunger, the thirst, the complaints, and the murmurings, Moses also had to contend with the logistics of leading millions of people out of the nation into another, out of one nation into another. Without any military backing, Israel became a prime target for every rogue group in the area. With the spoils of Egypt in their possessions, the likelihood of an attack was imminent. And when Israel entered into the region of Rephidim, Amalek made his move against God's elect and fought against the weakest and most feeble among them. That's what we just read in Deuteronomy 25:17. And instead of cutting his losses and moving forward, listen, Moses decided to stay and fight. And how easy it is. The Lord struck my heart when I studied this. Brother Jackie, how easy it is for us to just say, well, that we'd probably lose that one anyway, or we'd probably lose them anyway. Might as well just wash our hands and move on. That's part of the battle. That's part of the price of battle. Not Moses. Moses said, I'm not about to just march on. He said, that's our people. That's part of us. And so we're going to stop and we're going to take on this enemy. We'll take on this foe. But what a lesson we can learn. Before, Moses just headed straight forward and marched into the war and into the battle. Moses got Joshua and some of his top men and said, "You go toward the battle and deal with this enemy, and I'm going up yonder and I'm going to seek the heart of God and figure out what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to handle this issue." And so that's what began to happen. And so instead of cutting his losses and moving forward, Moses decided to stay and fight. Joshua, the commanding officer, was sent to the front lines of the conflict, while Moses went up to the top of the hill to engage his own battle. As always, Moses planned to intercede for the people of God in prayer. Can I say, just as much of a battle as it was for Joshua and those that were leading soldiers into the battle, they were going to be hand-to-hand combat, full-on, all-out assault in a physical battle. Moses was in just as much of a battle where he was in a battle of prayer, dealing with God. And prayer is a battle. It is a real battle. If you don't believe me, try it. The moment you go to God to intercede, not just for yourself, but especially for other people, the devil hates that, and he will try to stop you. He will try to distract you and to mess you up, and it is a battle. Moses entered his own battlefield when he went to pray, and an incredible dynamic occurred as the war raged. When Moses raised the rod of God toward heaven, Joshua prevailed over Amalek. But when Moses let down the rod of God, Amalek prevailed over Joshua. The strength of Joshua was made possible by the prayers of Moses. But over time, the hands of Moses grew weary. Amalek was certain to prevail had it not been for the faithful prayer partners who accompanied Moses upon the hill. This, I'm going to be short tonight. My voice is giving out in a hurry, but please get this tonight before we go. There's more than one person involved in this prayer. If you are the sole person in your prayer life, if you're the only person in your prayer life, you are in trouble. You need some support. You need a team. You need a partner in prayer. Do you have a prayer partner? You need one. Because I promise you, I don't need you to raise your hand or testify, but I can just say this and know it's true across the board. We all get weary. All of us get weary. We all wear down. We all get tired in the battle. They are certain days we are not at our best. Even Moses, the man of God, the meekest man on earth, God's chosen, the elect of God, leading His people. God used him to deliver. He's the one that went and stood before Pharaoh and said, "Set my people free, let my people go." And got one plague after another. And this is the man. And here he is up on the mountain praying and interceding before God on behalf of them. And while he had the rod raised, Joshua would prevail over Amalek. And when his arms would weary and fall, Amalek would begin prevailing over Joshua. And I'm sure Moses was a good man of God, and he loved Joshua. He appointed him, and he wanted him to prevail for the whole group. And this is the key to all of it tonight. Get this. When the man of God has strength and power and a team of people who are willing to pray and raise his hands, everybody benefits. Not just Joshua, but the whole group, the whole nation of Israel benefited because somebody was willing to intercede and go in and stay the man of God's hands. And what a blessing. We need that. I need you to pray for me. I felt your prayers over the last few days. And whether you believe it or not, you need me to pray for you. And we need each other. We need partners to pray. And so, Aaron and Hur recognized the weight of the battle was far too great for Moses to do it all alone. My, how true. I read some stats today and I didn't bring them with me, but it blew my mind. Every time I look at statistics for this year, they just get worse and worse, like they're amplified. How many preachers have got out of the ministry? How many churches closed? How many preachers were fired? It's mind-boggling. This year, how many churches shut their doors and preachers turn in their certificate and their ordination papers and said, I'm done. I'm going to get a job in the secular world. That's sad and a shame, but it ought not be. God's calling is without repentance. If He called us, we ought to finish. Amen. But it takes more than the preacher. It takes people who will get in there and recognize that it is a heavy load. And I've heard it from tons, probably all of my preacher friends and pastor friends. I mean, men who's pastored for 50 years have struggled this year more than any year they've ever pastored. It's been a heavy year. It's been a hard year. I mean, the load has just been wearisome. And personally, I don't know anybody that's quit. Thank the Lord, I don't. But I know a bunch who've come close. And it don't have to be. Especially if some people will recognize the weight of the battle is way too great for one man to carry and hold all along. In wisdom and compassion, they advised Moses to sit up on a stone with the rod of God in his hands. And Aaron got on one side of Moses and Hur got on the other. And with resolve and determination, they kept his hands steady until Joshua overcame the enemy. The beautiful illustration of teamwork demonstrates the need we all have for prayer partners. Oh, how true. I'll just say this in passing. Please don't answer out loud, but can you look back? I started to say over this past year, but I'll just say it this way. Can you look back over this past week and see a time in your life where you were weak and needed somebody to stay your hands and pray on your behalf and intercede for you? A time at work, maybe out on the job, maybe in the home, maybe in your marriage, maybe with your children, but you just needed somebody, you needed to know somebody was teaming with you and partnering with you and praying on your behalf. Boy, that's a blessing. That's a help. It's a huge help. And this was the determining factor of whether or not the children of Israel won or lost. That's how powerful prayer is. It is a determining factor. It is a win or a loss at the end of the day, whether we engage in prayer on behalf of somebody else or not. It could be the deciding factor. Therefore, it should drive us to our knees to know that if Aaron and Hur made such a difference in the man of God's life that it helped him stay his hands and hold the rod of God toward heaven, which caused that to cause Joshua to prevail over Amalek. And in so doing, all of them won. They all succeeded. And oh, how we ought to take that and say, yes, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to take time to pray today. These people in my church who may be wore out and weary, and the devil's been wearing them out, and the devil's waiting on them to slow down so he can pounce. It ain't hard, and you don't have to be a busybody. You don't have to be a nosy person. You don't have to you don't have to cruise up and down Facebook to get the 411 on people. You can just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Keep your ears open. Fellowship with people in your church, and you will have a good understanding of how to pray. And you don't need to know every detail. Can I say this? I promise you this. Joshua was in the middle of the battle, in the heat of it. He wasn't watching 100% of the time up there and seeing what was going on with Moses. He was busy nose to nose in combat. Probably neither was the children of Israel who was down there fighting, and the women and children who were doing their things just trying to get through that day alive. But up on that mountain, there was a man who was praying, who needed somebody to intercede for him so he could intercede for them. And oh, how true and how needed. I need that. I need some people who will get up every day and say, if I don't pray for nobody, I'm going to pray for the preacher. Please know I'm not being thinking I'm better than anybody. I'm probably worse than all of you put together. I mean that. But I am the preacher. And in that position, like it or not, I don't like it. I'd gladly get out of this part of the role of being a preacher, but that title and that position brings, it's like a magnet, it brings trouble from hell. There's a bigger bullseye on my back every morning than there is yours. Again, please know, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. That's a fact. Because the devil knows if he gets me, he's going to hurt a lot of us in one swipe. And so, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I need it every day. I need it. Do you pray for me? Please do. Don't let that slip by. I need it. I need it. I don't want to fall. I don't want to let my hands fall. I don't want you to fail because I fail. And I've come so close. The devil has come so close to ruining me for good. Oh, do you hear me? Help me pray. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fall. I want to finish serving the Lord. I do. I want to finish my course. I do. The Lord knows my heart, I do. But I won't, and I will fail, and I will fall if I don't have somebody helping me pray. Please help me pray. Even Moses needed that. So I'm not putting myself on a special pedestal. If Moses needed men to help him pray, I know I do. I guarantee you I do. And so do you. And in so doing, praying for me will help you. It'll help this church. It'll help your children. All of them benefited because somebody was willing to intercede and stay the man of God's hand. This is a beautiful illustration of teamwork. Demonstrates the need that we all have for prayer partners. The weak and feeble of Israel needed the strength of Joshua. Listen to this couple of sentences. The weak and feeble of Israel needed the strength of Joshua. Joshua was their commander. He was the one on the field, on the ground, in the battle with them. And those people who were weak and couldn't fight like Joshua, didn't have the know-how in battle like Joshua, they needed his help. They needed his strength. You see that? Look on. Joshua needed the prayers of Moses. The people that were weak and in need needed Joshua's power and Joshua's strength. At the same time, Joshua needed the power and prayers and the intercession of Moses. It is a chain reaction. They all are linked together. And when one link breaks, it all falls apart. And so it is with us. We need each other, whether we admit it or not. I'll say it gladly and publicly. I need you. And the quicker you realize you need me, the better we all going to be. That is right. So they needed Joshua. Joshua needed Moses. And here it is. Moses needed the assistance of Aaron and Hur. I'm not up here spouting off at the mouth saying, I got this. I'm in charge, bless the Lord. You follow me or else. I ain't a dictator. I don't expect you to be a spectator. I need help, just like Moses needed help. Joshua needed help. The children of Israel who were weak and in the valley and in the battle, they needed help. And God made sure, and the man of God made sure they had help. They had people watching and working and warring on their behalf. And those that were warring on their behalf, God made sure to put in authority in the chain of command, somebody over them that would intercede for them, for leadership. And then God saw to it that even the man of God, because God in His omniscience, and He knew even the top of the chain was going to need help. Because He's a man, and all men need help. All men need intercessors. And so God sent Aaron and Hur, nudged their hearts. What a tragedy it would have been when the Lord nudged Aaron and Hur's heart and said, hey, you ought to go pray for your preacher. Now they could have, Brother Ned, they could have took this mentality. Why are we going to pray for him? I mean, look at him. He's up there on his knees laying around on top of the mountain sunbathing while we down here in the battle fighting. He ain't even in the battle. That is how I know Aaron and Hur wasn't Baptist. I better hush. Our time's leaving. People will be so funny and critical. In fact, they got this whole thing figured out. But Aaron and Hur, it never entered their mind to doubt Moses and criticize Moses and think what a better job he could be doing and why ain't he down here with us and blah. No, they just saw him. They saw his hands falling. They saw him trembling. They said, "Oh goodness, that's our preacher." He's getting weak and wobbly. And rather than criticize and gossip, tear down, sow discord, you know what they did? They ran to him, got a boulder. They went to work, got a boulder and pushed it over and leaned him up against it and stayed his hands up and sat there and prayed with him as he prayed for them and Joshua and the whole crowd. And they prevailed over Amalek and they all won. God did it for them. God will do it for us. God ain't no respecter of persons. When everyone worked together in a harmonious fashion, the enemy was destroyed and victory was shared throughout the camp. This is so good. Nowhere in the Word of God do you read Aaron and Hur run off the mountain saying, "We did it! Look at what we accomplished." There wasn't no glory seekers. They simply interceded for the right reason, with the right heart. And they weren't looking for glory. In a harmonious fashion, they all celebrated together. It was a win for everybody. If the church could learn that, when you win, I win. When I win, you win. We're all better when we're all better. If you drive up in a new car, I'm not going to get in my car on the way home and tell Jenny, "Well, can you believe that? The hardest we've been working and scrimping and saving. And look, them old lazy sots, and then they drive up in a brand new vehicle. Where's the Lord?" That's so wrong. Can you say, did you see what she was wearing? Where did they get the money for all them new clothes? Hey, just be happy for if somebody gets a whole new wardrobe. Be happy for them. If they get two new trucks, be happy for them. They might give you one. I'll tell you what happened real quick. This happened. Our truck has been acting up bad for a while. The transmission's been acting up real bad. And we had to go to camp. And I ain't got no second to go to. So we got in the truck and we headed all the way up there. And well, on the way back, I had somebody pull a U-Haul up there to carry all the luggage. And they didn't come back to Packlet, so I put that U-Haul on my truck. And we got about 30 or 40 minutes away from where we was at, headed 3 or 4 hours this way in the mountains. And a light popped up on my dash, a wrench, and started to go up a mountain, and it wouldn't go. It was dropped down pegged out 20 miles an hour. That's it, pegged out. I pulled over. I said, well, it's going to be a long day, girls. The transmission's gone. And it was. And if you know anything about cars and transmissions go out. They don't just get better. They don't. I know. And this happened. My daughter, Macy, said, Daddy, we need to ask the Lord to touch the truck. So I'll be honest with you. I wasn't in the most spiritual mood. I was looking at my rearview mirror at a U-Haul and remembering and realizing there was 25 youngins in front of me that needed their stuff and thinking, if I had to get somebody to tow, it ain't just me and my family sitting here for 4 or 5 hours. It's this U-Haul too. And I was just like, because the last time we went up there in two vans, both vans broke down at the same time. So Roy come and got us. And I did not want all that to replay. Macy said, Daddy, we better just talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to touch it. I did. Sincerely. And she did. But this is what I asked the Lord, Brother Jackie. I said, Lord, you know we need to get home. I said, Lord, I ain't even asking you to heal it. As if it's a person. I said, but would you at least touch it where we could limp home? That was my prayer. Tell me, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But Macy didn't pray that way. Unbeknownst to me, she didn't pray out loud. Some spectacular prayer. But in her heart, she got specific and said, Lord, fix the truck. Amen. She prayed that. Well, I thought the Lord answered my prayer because I got back in it and let it cool down a few minutes. I got back in it, the light's still on, still 20 miles an hour. But it was going 20 miles an hour. And I just prayed, Lord, let us limp home. And 20 miles an hour is way better than zero. And when I'd get going downhill, I could get up to 70 and get a good run and go to get back up the next one. And that's how we did it, all the way home. All the way to Packlet. Well, we got here, unhooked that U-Haul. And I forgot about it. I was just thanking the Lord we made it home. And Macy said, Daddy, why don't you go out there and crank it and see if it's fixed? I said, girl, transmissions don't fix ourselves. She said, but Daddy, I prayed. I went out there and my hand to heaven. I crunked that thing up, the light was gone. Wide open, full throttle power. Ain't done it one time since. It might break down tomorrow, but I believe with all my heart that prayer I'd answer. I do. I don't know what that had to do with nothing. Oh, when one wins, we all win. The whole crowd of us, because Maisie prayed, we made it home. And I drove to church tonight. Thank the Lord. Amen. I didn't have to thumb my way here. Well, quickly. Aaron and Hur never took the rod of God out of Moses' hands. Neither did they take the weight off of his shoulders. Instead, they partnered together to help bear the load. They got under the burden with him and persevered until victory came. This is the purpose of prayer partners. Prayer is a battle, and there are some battles we cannot win by ourselves. Having a trusted ally on the front lines of conflict always proves to be the great benefit to the soul. It is in such sacred union God promises to be in the midst. Having a trusted prayer partner provides strength, stamina, and security during the most heated battles of life. Victory is more readily available when we enlist others to help pray. I'm saying this, and I'm going to read these two verses, and we'll be done. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you don't have that verse underlined in your Bible, you should. Ecclesiastes 4:12. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then finally, Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Let's stand.